Hello, hello, hello. I'm Simona Costantini, and I'm obsessed with helping you connect to your purpose and teaching you about all things mindset, business, podcasting, and everything in between. I realized I deserved and wanted more from this thing called life, so I changed my beliefs, healed my hurt, and made it my mission to help you do the same. I'm a recovering people pleaser turned life coach and podcast producer. I teach busy business owners how to confidently fall in love with their life and business and live it on their terms. On this show, you get everything raw and real, from inspirational guest interviews to deep dives into topics like life, relationships, business, purpose, growth, and mindset. I lay it all on the line every single time. Think of this as your one-stop shop to help you live a more purposeful and inspired life. This is the Happiness Happens podcast. Are you ready to hear this inspiring conversation? Let's dive on in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode on the Happiness Happens podcast. I'm Simona, and I'm super excited that you are here joining me for another incredible conversation this week from someone that I absolutely adore. We had an amazing conversation. We aligned on so many different points, and everything that he shared in this episode was just like fireworks going off in my brain. It was such an amazing conversation. So today on the podcast, we have Heath Armstrong, and Heath has a really impactful story and so much wisdom and insight to share. After waking up face down, pants down in his garage during a rock bottom breakdown, he started adopting the strategies of over 100 creative entrepreneurs that he interviewed around the world. To Heath, there's a drastic transformation that happens when someone truly dials into their intuition and not only follows their heart, but also their gut. Happiness can be created as opposed to found. And I'm really excited for you to meet Heath on this week's episode. If you love what we talk about in this episode, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. It allows us to get into the hands of the people that need to hear these messages. So without further ado, let's chat with Heath. And I'm super stoked to dive in to this conversation. Welcome, Heath, to the podcast. I'm super excited to chat with you today.
I'm probably more excited than you because that's just how I am.
Oh, I love that. Can you start us off just by telling everyone a little bit about the journey that's brought you to where you are today? Where to begin?
There's so many different angles of, I feel like there's a lot of relation in just being a human that I can bring up among transitions in life. Like, I feel like we all kind of live an array of different lifetimes within one, but I was thinking about this earlier today because I was talking to one of my friends about some ideas of creating like a co-working space down near Franklin, North Carolina, where it's like this little mountain town and there's not a lot of places to hub up and do work, but it would be a good spot. And I was thinking about how I used to work for $13 an hour in this concrete plant where we made these receptacles that actually carried human feces underground. And I thought this was like path was going to be my life. I always felt like there was something weird. Like I'm a weird person. Like my energy's high. My mind is like in the clouds always, like creative ideas. But I went to school to study like engineering in a field that I thought was going to make me money and all the stuff that you're supposed to do or whatever. And I ended up in this factory and actually got, like 2 years in, I got written up and I wasn't allowed to get any more raises because I grabbed the forklift driver's dick because he kept harassing me and calling me gay.
Oh,
and like,
God.
And he'd just be like, "Hey, gay boy." Like he looked like Hulk Hogan and he drive this forklift around. And so like one day I just grabbed his dick because he kept calling me gay boy anyways. And they were like, you never know what's going to lead you on the next path. And I was talking to my friend about some of those transitions I went through. And like after that, I ended up getting a better job within that industry where I was doing like kind of outside sales and actually working on job sites and things like that. But I still wasn't fulfilling anything. And I had some really rock bottom moments where I was just drinking constantly and doing drugs. Like I was doing psychedelics just for the hell of it, not for the intent of it, which I believe it's a really powerful medicine that can be used in the right way now. I wasn't doing it the right way then. Lots of different substances. And then, yeah, I was drinking like a fifth of whiskey probably every other day, sometimes once a day, and didn't think it was that out of the ordinary to be doing that. I was functioning and it was just numbing myself. And I think you get to a place where it's like, if you have a job that makes you miserable and you're in a relationship that really doesn't support you and it's not supporting the other person as well, and you're addicted to a bunch of things to try to numb the reality that you're not doing anything that really fulfills you or excites you in any way, I think that you're sort of ripe for a sledgehammer from the universe. And so I had a couple of very specific times of waking up in random places and having no idea where I'd been the last 24 or 48 hours. One time in my garage, you know, face down, pants down, garage open, car running in the front yard still, like the keys were in it. This is a residential neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
You can imagine what the neighbors thought. Like, and I just remember looking up and seeing my two dogs that were looking at me from the steps of like the door to get into the house was open. Like I got it open, but then I must've fallen. And I woke up and I had like the bottles in my hand, like grasping it next to me. I have no idea what I was doing.
Wow.
Like my nose had been bleeding all over the steps. And it just set me into this just downward spiral into a sort of rise of the Phoenix type of thing that I had to go through, like the pain and the misery and the depression that I had to front to be able to unleash what I was creatively here to unleash. And you can't do it alone. And I was just, I didn't know how to meet people because I'm really introverted. And I really didn't know anyone outside of like the construction industry per se, or like just other people doing things that I didn't think were really that in alignment either. Growing up in Tennessee, it's a very Southern sort of just redneck like party atmosphere, you know? And I started to listen to podcasts for the first time because I noticed that it was the first time Apple actually forced podcasts onto your phone. And I was like, what is this app? I was laying in this ridiculously oversized jacuzzi tub that I had in my bedroom in my 4-bedroom house that, you know, it's just like a palace of misery. Like you think it's all these things that try to make you feel better, but they don't. Like things do not make you feel better. Experience does, and meeting people and exploring things. But I met a couple of really key people that changed my life forever by listening to podcasts. I reached out to one of them because my intuition told me to. And it was the first time I started to really understand that gut. Like we have the head and we have the heart, and they're always like arguing with each other. Like it's a high school prom date or something. Like, and it's like, baby, just the heart's like, baby, just listen to me. Like, trust me and love me. And the head's like, you don't think logically. Like, I can't, like, just listen. I got a plan. Like, I got this definitively figured out. And the heart's like, no, just calm down and hear the peace. And the head's just like, you never think things through. You never do anything. But then, like, the whole time your gut's there. And it's like, if you two would just, like, sitting in the background drinking a glass of wine, like, if you two would just shut the fuck up, I can show you where the treasure map is or whatever. And the gut is really tied to intuition. And one of the girls' name was Amber Villhauer, and she is incredible. She runs a company called No Guts and the Glory Enterprises. She forever changed my life by being the first person to respond to a message with like empathy and say, hey, like, let me call you. She didn't have to do that. Like, but she saw that I needed help clearly. And she probably saved my life. Like I sent her a Facebook message, not expecting her to ever reply to it. But she called me like a week later and talked to me for like 30 minutes and was just like, dude, you can do so many things that you don't even like this life that you're in right now is not the only route. Like you can, there are so many different options. You just have to stop fearing what it looks like on the other side of that scary door and start just going, you know, jumping in the cold water, like doing what you can. And she introduced me to a guy who ended up teaching me how to podcast, in which I started a podcast back in like 2014, where I was interviewing creative entrepreneurs around the world. And doing podcasting, every person you meet, it drastically affects your perception on what like creativity is or what the opportunities are that are in the world. And all of that was just a domino effect. And I ended up at a, what I was talking to my friend about, to bring that back full circle, the co-working space. I ended up at a co-working space locally. Like if anyone is wondering where to go to meet people to start, see if you can find a local co-working space where they do like entrepreneurial stuff. I just went there and started hanging out with people who were doing creative things and with their own ideas and collaborating. And from there, it was really quick and wild. I tried to start a couple companies. I failed a couple companies. I got one that started to stick, and then it started to really stick. And then before I knew it, I was doing like 6-figure months, and I had like all of this crazy stuff happening that was not at all anything that I thought was possible, making $13 an hour in a concrete factory. Wow. And, you know, I built that out, and then I lost everything. And then I built other stuff, and I found a lot of meaning in the journey, but it's essentially how I got to where I'm at today. I mean, along the process, I learned a lot about marketing. I learned a lot about intuition and like actualizing what the difference is between yourself and your ego, and what it really means like to get out there and like taste dirt and like scrape, you know, blood off your knee and spend time with incredible indigenous people around the world and learn from, you know, like Mayan oracles and all these really powerful people that I've been able to meet. And yeah, I'm just here to create and to help people discover how that they can find their path to create as well.
That's incredible. And there's so many different directions that we could take this right now. I have so many questions in my head. But I think where I want to start is I'm curious what kind of mindset shifts you needed to make throughout all of the failures that you experienced. Like, how did you pick yourself back up when it felt impossible?
Yeah. So question. I got sober. And then I realized that I actually really didn't have an addiction. I just had more of addiction is such a vast term, but the word would be addiction to feeling different than I could in my sobriety. And so learning how to be okay with sitting with myself and not having somebody else to have to like be with me and to make sure that I'm okay was the biggest transition. And that came with simply starting meditation. And meditation in a lot of different varieties, but it did start with me just like learning how to sit quietly for 3 minutes and not like completely freak out and go crazy. And then it was more of a rechilding of the mind. Like, when was the last time you danced? You know, when was the last time you sang in the bathtub? When was the last time you went outside and ripped your clothes off and ran like a maniac banshee through the woods and did backflips off, you know, the tops of the trees through the great rich elixirs of the soil and swam in the river and watched the sunset come up after you watched it go down, you know, in the same sitting? Like, when was the last time you actually started exploring things that were different than what you see on a daily basis? And as I started, that started for me as like getting a bicycle again and starting to ride a bike and then being like, whoa, like, this is so fun. This is what I used to do as a child. Why did I ever stop? And then it started with like trail running, and it was just all these micro things that you can do. Really the root of all of that is what excites you. You know, do fantasy books excite you? Read fantasy books, learn how they craft the stories together, start writing your own, you know. Does rock climbing excite you? Like, go hug a rock and feel what it's like to detox your energy. I mean, nature is quite phenomenal with what it can do to your mindset. And so there's a lot of different, this is a big question because there's so many different things that I've learned from a personal level. But as I was interviewing creative entrepreneurs around the world, there were some really fundamental things that I think were made massive shifts for me. And that can go down from mindset tools to habits. But one of the biggest things I thought through was, if you want to make success from a business point of view, then you can't really do it. I mean, it's possible to do it, but you're not going to be happy doing it unless you have a personal foundation of freedom in place. And if you're not happy with who you are when you're the brokest person you know sitting on the side of a road, like not knowing where you're going to get the next meal, and you have no friends around to talk to you, then you really probably aren't going to be happy when you have all that support around you. And so it's like, what do you feel like when you're by yourself looking at your body naked in the mirror? Like, do you love the way that you look? Do you love the way that your voice sounds? Do you love the way that you write on a page? And the answer to that question for most of us is yes, but we put all these layers on top of it to make us think that there's this illusion of no. When we're born into the world, it's like you're this pure form of child, this like beautiful creature. And then all of these layers are stacked on top of you from, you know, politics and religions and your parents' traditions and education and school. And it seems like to me, to get back to that raw fundamental creative side, you have to start peeling back those layers and finding out who you are in the most vulnerable states. And giving gifts was like one of the biggest transformative factors for me. And I ended up taking all the different things that I learned from these people and putting it into a journaling system that I launched back. It was the very first publication I made, and it was in 2017, and it was called The Sweet Ass Journal to Develop Your Happiness Muscle in 100 Days. But it was an AM and PM sort of system that was all the stuff that I was doing before my dog, Arlonius Baloney, pissed all over all of my separate journals. And then I was forced to kind of mold them into one. He never went to the bathroom in the house. That was like one of those universal things, like, oh, 100%. I know why this happened, you know? And I put him into one journal because this coach I was using at the time was like, dude, this is like, you gotta, like, this is your sign. And I was like, no one's gonna want any of this. No one wants this, like, it's not gonna work for anyone else. I'm weird. It's just like, but I'm so happy that she pushed me through putting that out into the world, because thousands of people ended up using it like really quickly and then contacting me. And I found out, like, you know, we think we have this imposter syndrome if we share something we learned from someone else, but we're all just adding our own sauce on top of something that's been going on for lineages, right? And all these little things just that we share, we help other people create their own version of that hopefully helps them so that they can create something and share it to another person. It's like this continuous flow. But giving gifts was like, I don't know what it was. I read a book, I think it was called 29 Gifts by Cami Walker. And she had, I think she got MS. She was diagnosed like late with MS in her life, and just nothing could take away the pain of this disease that she brought on. And like, it was depressing to her, and her body hurt constantly, and there was no hope. And she started seeking a therapist, and like all these things didn't work. And then finally she found someone who had to run through this process of like gift giving and seeing how that would reflect on her. And it changed everything for her. And I was like, this is fascinating. I'm going to try it. And so I started doing something where I was like, okay, I'm going to give a gift to somebody every day. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do like go buy something and give it to someone. It could be holding a door for someone or writing a letter to someone you haven't talked to in a while. There's all these amazing things that you can do as a gift to yourself or to other people. And the more you do it, the more ideas you get and the easier it gets as well. But I think that when you give a gift to somebody, it really does generate like an oxytocin in the brain, which is the same thing that's generated when you're having sex, right? It's this happiness chemical. I not only noticed like an massive increase in my mindset when I was doing that, but also like the law of abundance with the world. Like, as I was giving so much away, all of a sudden all these things were coming back into my life, and then businesses were starting to work. And like, one time I even gave away all my alcohol because I wasn't drinking anymore to like the only just crazy redneck dude that I used to hang out with, who like is certainly never going to stop drinking because he just absolutely loves it, like Eastern Kentucky maniac. And that same day, my girlfriend at the time's mother came and dropped a keg off in my front yard. It's not like she ever did that before. She's like, I got this random keg today. I thought you might want it because I used to have a kegerator. I was like,
oh my God,
how
I love that.
Funny is that? You know, it's like synchronicity of the, again, like another universal synchronicity, weird thing in the universe playing with you. But giving gifts is a huge one. And then all sorts of other stuff like minimalism. And that comes from removing physical things that are absorbing your energy, but also like digitally cleaning yourself up so that there's not so much distracting you. And then setting an intention that goes from like your core vision of who you want to be all the way down to your daily habits and the things that you're doing within that day to function. And I could talk for 2 hours on how to set that system up if we want to go down that road. But, you know, that's just some of the stuff that I'm breaking the surface on. I'm going to let you take it over now because I could go on forever talking about it.
No, I absolutely love it. And one thing that you just said there, the part about like visualizing, you know, who it is you want to be, how it is you want to be, and then sort of living that through. I mean, although we don't have 2 hours, I wish we did. How can someone create that vision for themselves, but then how do you like hold on to it throughout the whole day? How do you remember, you know what I mean, in every moment and every minute and everything that you're doing? You know what I mean? Like, how can you always stay aligned to that bigger purpose?
Yeah, this is good stuff. So there's something that you have, it's called, if you don't have this, you kind of do somewhere because it's called dreaming. But it's something called a core vision. And that's just to what I call it. And it's the core of like, when you sit down and think about what do I want my life to look like and who is the person I want to become ultimately, to where if I get to this point and I died, I would feel like I was completely fulfilled. I mean, we should all really be living in a way that we're not afraid to die. And death is really just a contemplation, because death really is our best friend, as it's the only sacred reminder of how beneficial each moment really is to us. And without death, then there would be absolutely no purpose to life, right? So you have this core vision, and you can answer questions. And I'd be happy if anyone wants more in-depth information on this to just send me a message, because I'm actually putting this whole system in my new book that I've been working on. But you create a core vision, and it's who you want to become. And I usually use about 5 different statements for this. But it could have something to do with who you want to become as a creative. What do you want your moral life to be like? Like, what are you ethically doing in the world to make a difference? You can make like 5 really strong, powerful statements that kind of are in the present tense of I am, that can sum up who you are in this perfect version of your self type scenario. Say like, if I give an example, let's say one of mine would be, I continuously bring in passive income from creations that actually do good in the world so that I can support myself and my family on this creative journey of life. Like, that's a principle that I can't ever imagine me never not wanting to be in place. So it's sort of a core value for me. And then underneath your core values, you have this, what I like to call a vision mantra. And it's really just taking what you living the life of these core values looks and feels like, and putting it into a paragraph form that's in the present tense. Because when you do this, you are affirming to your brain that these things are actually happening. And if you close your eyes and you're reciting this core vision and you're visualizing it, you really are training your subconscious brain that this is happening, so that when you're awake and you're alert and you're walking around and taking action in the world, it's going to subconsciously help you make decisions in each one of your moments to move towards that lifestyle, because you're training it to believe that that's the lifestyle it's supposed to be bringing into the world. It sounds woo until you experience it and you see it working. And then you're like, oh, all this shit that I used to think was just complete garbage actually has some really grit to it. You can't do it without taking action. You can't do it just by thinking of it, but it is the first step. It's like, what is that vision? And then you can start to devise the plan on how to get there. So if I give an example of like a core mantra for myself, it would be something like, I won't do the whole thing, but it would be something like, I'm so grateful to bring, you know, $222,000 per year into my life, and to be able to work from anywhere, including inside of my home office lab, inside of this giant creative pole barn with my hot and cold plunge tanks and my gardens outside and my greenhouses right next to my solar powered energy efficient home. And I'm so incredibly excited and at peace every morning to wake up and be able to work and create with my gorgeous and intelligent and intellectual life partner on projects and products that help others discover their unconditional love and truth in this world. It gives me so much joy and deep love to watch my beautiful blue-eyed daughter run barefoot through the fields with my dog, Sachi Tananda, like both of them being just so free range as fuck. And also to be able to work from anywhere, including inside of my camper van next to my solar powered, or next to waterfalls and mountains, and to be able to have enough abundance to travel the world and experience teachings from different cultures and wisdom from other elders and people that I meet. And all of these things truly support me in my foundation for healing on this journey through funky space, right? So something like that. You have to make it your own. And then hopefully that allows people to generate ideas, but you got to make it your own. And you have to really sit down and just ask yourself these questions, like, what truly excites me? What makes my heart beat? Like, what gives me butterflies? What makes my hair stand up? Like, and then how do I start to bring these things into my life? But you don't have to have, like, none of those things I just said, do I have? I don't have any of that stuff yet, but I know it's coming, right? And like, I want it bad enough to recite that to myself every morning, because it's in alignment with my core visions of who I want to become. So that's sort of step 2. And then step 3 would be like your long-term visions, which are, these are like the feasible goals you can work towards that are in alignment with your core mantra, which is in alignment with your core vision. So you can think of it like kind of chakras, you know, they're all in alignment with each other. And if one of them's out of place, then none of them work. And your long-term visions are just the stuff that you've talked about and other people, like it's the intuitive drive towards what's on your vision board. You know, like what are the things you're cutting out and putting right directly on your vision board? Like from that mantra that I just recited, I could put a picture of a farm or a sprinter van, which I'm currently working on right now. So that one's coming to life.
That's so exciting.
But it's been on my vision board for 3 years, you know, and it wasn't always alive. So there's a lot of different avenues you can go with that, but long-term visions. And then underneath that, I like to work in what I call short-term bursts. This is one of the things I learned from interviewing people. A lot of the really high, like prime successful people that I was talking to, they all did something that I thought was really interesting that I don't see it shared that much anywhere. They worked in spurts of 100 days. So they'd create these trackers, and I've done it. And it actually was what allowed me to create and have so much success in that business. I just copied their model perfectly and made it a little bit of my own, you know, added a little zest, but they would print out like 100-day trackers, basically make a spreadsheet. And every day, so think of a spreadsheet. On the left side, you'd have like basically what your vision is, what you're working towards, but the habits that allow you to structure those visions. What do you want to accomplish over this 100-day period? So that would be the top, actually, is where they'd put those goals in. But then on the left side, they'd have the habits that they would do every single day to bring those visions over the short term to life. And they would wake up in the morning, they would review that, what do I want to accomplish over the next 100 days? Say it's write your rough draft of your book. That's a good example of a short-term goal. 3 months is about 90 days. So add an extra 10 days. The reason they do it in 100-day spurts is because you can track it by 1%. So if you're on day 40, in all 40 days, you've written, you know, 10 minutes towards your rough draft, and you know that you're 40% on your way to 100% effectiveness. Uh-huh. But if you're on day 20, or if you're on day 40 and you've only done 20 of the days, then you know you're still 20% effective, but you're not going to make it all the way to 100%. Mm-hmm. But essentially, no matter what you do, it wires your mind to see that you're making progress on a percentage base. And you can measure it really easily at the end. So like if I get to day 100 and I accomplished writing 50 days, I know that 50% of the time I was writing, and I can look at the progress I made. And then I'm like, okay, well, if I would have written every day, then I can see that doubling this would have been what my output was. And if I would have written less, then I can see this would have been my output. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to track. But those are your short-term visions. It's like, if your vision board has a book that you've written on a bookshelf and you put my book across it, and you look at it every day, and then you're doing your mantras, and then you have your short-term vision where you're waking up and you're writing a little bit every day. You know, they're all in alignment with each other, which these are very effective things to do. And then the habits is what comes after the short-term vision. It's like, what am I doing on a daily basis that reinforces me to be able to do this stuff? There's one swing arm with this is like, there's two things you do every day. You do the habits that are the foundation, but then you also pick two action items that are going to move you towards your goal. So like, I don't care. This is the most simple advice ever. And it's the most logical advice ever, but it's the also most fundamental true. Like if you do two things every single day to move you towards your visions or your dreams, you're going to get there way quicker than just thinking about it. Like, I don't care what they are. It's like, just do two things, like get a note card and wake up every morning and review your vision of what you're trying to work on. And then do those two things before you do anything else. I mean, there's a really great video on YouTube. It's Earl Nightingale. It's called The Strangest Secret. It's 30 minutes long. And it's like this old school, you know, like sales dude from like the 60s or something. But he has a really powerful, like God in his voice. And what he explains in that video will definitely impact your life if you watch it. Because he just talks about this method of like the difference between people who are successful and aren't. And it all comes down to this fundamental principle of, are you taking action every day to move towards this direction? Mm-hmm. Or are you allowing resistance gremlins to get in your way and stop you? Because in the end, like life isn't about what happens to you. It's not about the beauty that happens to you. And it's not about the bullshit that happens to you. Life is really about how you choose to react when it happens. And so if you use the things that happen to you as motivation to continue to move towards your dreams, then ultimately you're going to bring that into reality. And if you allow fear or you allow these situations to cripple you and you just stay in a comfort zone, you're kind of cuddled up and you watch your TV and just like, you know, shove your hand down your pants while you're eating tubs of ice cream and thinking about all the stuff that you want to be doing, but you're not, then you're probably just going to stay in that zone. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on top of that, exercise, right? Get your body moving.
That's so good. I love that so much. And the one thing that I want to ask you from that is, so when you have your vision and you have all of your, you know, you have your statement, you have your vision, where you have all these different things, how can you release the expectation around like how quickly that thing is going to happen or when that thing will happen? Because that's like the biggest thing that I see a lot of is people get so hung up on how it's going to happen or like the way that it's going to come into their life where they don't necessarily just like let go of, you know, releasing.
Maybe you said let go.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. That's not a very easy thing to do, right? Letting go, surrendering. Exactly. David Hawkins wrote an incredible book called Letting Go. That it's like the Bible of how to move through that type of mindset. But overwhelm is a really big, dangerous thing. And that is what resistance is, right? Resistance is the enemy of creation. It does keep us in our place. It makes us feel like we're not good enough. It gives us imposter syndrome. It makes us feel like these goals are too big. And so therefore we don't start because we feel like we have too far to go. Recently, I've been looking at this from an interesting perspective because I'm like, when I feel overwhelmed, I start to realize that like what really cripples us is actually hesitation. And hesitation is something that actually can be overcome without really thinking. It's just a matter of training yourself to take action faster without questioning it. And that can come down to the just fundamentally starting your day off by waking up as soon as your alarm clock goes off or whenever, and giving yourself 5 seconds to get out of bed, as opposed to hitting snooze over and over again, or giving yourself 5 seconds to put your shoes on to go on a run, rather than staring at them for 30 minutes and thinking about it. It's mindlessly training yourself to move into the flow of the action. And that takes, it never gets easier, I don't think. I mean, you can get better at it and you build that muscle up and it's like, that's how you can become really effective, but it never gets easier if you start to think about it, right? So it's like, how do you stop thinking about it? And I actually just started reminding myself that, I think this is where contemplation of death comes in pretty strong. It's like, what are we so worried about? Why is this such a big deal? Are we afraid we're not going to accomplish this before we die? And in that case, then you better start doing it because like, you never know when time's going to be up. And I think like, I don't know, all these creative things that we do, it's muse, right? It's connection to something divine. Like we channel everything that we create, we paint, we write, it's coming from somewhere. And it's coming out into the world because it wants to become physical form. Like, that's all about learning how to flow. And it goes back to intuition of what makes me excited, like what makes me feel good. And the things that make you feel good, when you're doing them, you're not going to have that much resistance because you love doing them. And so we have so many things in our life that it kind of, we get ourselves in situations where it may feel like icky, but if you love it enough, then you're going to figure out a way to make it work. I just started thinking like, go in nature. Every time I go to nature, I'm like, is it really, I look at the stars. I'm like, when I'm overwhelmed, I quit everything that I'm doing. And I go back to the fundamentals of what really drives my excitement. And like, it starts with looking at the stars. It starts with walking outside barefoot, walking through the creek. And like, is there anything really more important than sitting around a fire and like talking to your friends and your family and just looking them in the eye and telling them that you love them? Like catching one fish that feeds you for the day and like consciously drinking your water every sip that you take, thinking about the amount of energy that went into making that water and bringing it to the bottle that you're drinking out of it. Like, it's just bringing a mindfulness back to every single thing that's around you in your moments and that's surrounding you. And when you can do that, it starts to make letting go and setting expectations much easier. I feel there's not so much stress because stress is what creates this idea of overwhelm.
And like, but the if
you're reducing your stress, then like, you don't really think along those lines anymore. I'm like, you know, like all I want to do is love. Like, it's just go out and and get on a river, like go swim in the ocean. You know, it's there's a lot of things that can really boost you. And I think the root is a lot of its nature for sure.
That's beautiful. I love so much the way that you put that though, because when you really think about it, we put all these timelines, you know what I mean? Like we create all of this unnecessary stress. We create all of these different structures and this, you got to put this specific piece of content out by this day and do this and this. And it's kind of like, although, you know, you want to move forwards towards your dreams, but it's like, why can't the joy be there too? You know what I mean? Like, why can't the fun be part of your day as well? And it's kind of like when you really boil it down, because I also think about this a lot. I think about death a lot too. And I also think about a lot of, you know, when you really boil it down, you're literally here to have an experience. You know what I mean? You're just living to have an experience. So why would you do with your time anything that doesn't bring you the most joy? You know what I mean? And like, yes, we need money to live. We need to, you know, be able to support ourselves and all of these different things. But I think when you come back down to the fact that it's such an incredible experience to even be able to do this, you know what I mean? It really puts things back into perspective.
I mean, had I never expanded how I reacted to things or how I dealt with overwhelm. I mean, I was the person who like would get so overwhelmed and stressed that I mean, I have this huge scar in my hand from punching a wall, from being so pissed off when I worked in the concrete industry, like bone came out of my hand. Like I don't even have, I've completely dissolved my temper. Like I don't even have any moments anymore where I get angry. Like anger is something I've completely worked through, which is, it feels like a completely different life.
Yeah.
It's quite magical. I mean, the feeling of being able to control it, by not controlling, really the biggest thing is like, we want to figure everything out, but the only way to do that is to stop trying to figure it out. You know, it's like, what if the hokey pokey really is what it's all about? It's like, you're on a ride here. Like just sit back, relax, and let it punish your brain and your body. Feel it, because there are people that I've met in the world traveling and that are the happiest people in the world, and they have nothing. And here in the West, we've very much created these like ideas that, and it's not just the West, there's a lot of countries that have fallen into this like productive, like we have to get this done, we have to work constantly. But I've spent a lot of time in Africa, and I work with a school in Africa, and it's so healing to just be around people who are the happiest people in the world, just to see the sun every morning. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you start to understand how that's not difficult to do once you just start doing it. Like I've really made it a thing to wake up earlier and be awake when that sun comes up, because that's a giant ball of fire that's conscious. And if you don't think that thing is conscious like you are, then you're crazy. Like all of nature, the universe has a consciousness. You're part of that. If you're not willing to get up and absorb that energy when it first comes up in the morning, like that's step one. Like, can you do that? Can you find the silence? Can you get through the misery of wanting to sleep in a little bit later? I mean, we all have been in the money hustle positions. Like I didn't grow up with money. My parents were not wealthy in any way. And it was just like, my mom worked lots of jobs. I used to sit at the bar, you know, she bartended late at night to try to take care of three kids. And it was just, I don't know. It's like this wild, wild ride of like, you never know what's going to unfold on the other side of the leaf. Just show up and hang out with the tree, you know, and see for yourself.
I love that so much. Okay, this is my last question for you. And it's a question that I ask all my guests when they come on the show. And it's, how can someone create a little more happiness in their day every day starting today?
So I'm going to go back to spending time outside. There's something really magical that happens. So I have an earthing mat, and I understand that costs money. But when your body goes to sleep, it's doing a restorative thing where it's completely detoxifying you and then re-upping your energy for the next day so you can think clear and you can be on high. And for the longest time, I mean, for the history of humanity, we were always grounded. Like we were outside, we were sleeping near the ground. We didn't have rubber shoes on, and we weren't in you know, concrete boxes that separate us from Earth's magnetic field. Well, since the 60s and the invention of the rubber sole shoe, whenever that was, many people now are in these high rises like I'm in right now, or they're going to office buildings and then you go home and you're wearing shoes whenever you're not in the buildings. And when you take your shoes off inside the house, you're disconnected from the earth because you're in the house. When you go to sleep at night and you need to get all that restoration, like you're surrounded by electromagnetic frequencies from the internet and electronics. And these actually do a lot of damage to the body, and they create damage in the cells, and they create free radicals. And free radicals are essentially, they have an excess positive charge, and they're trying to run around the body to neutralize themselves by stealing electrons from other cells. And by doing so, they're just creating more damage, and then it expands. And that's what creates inflammation. That's what creates disease. And these types of things build up in you, and it can be more pushed and poked on from traumatic experiences, from emotions. Like there's a lot of things that can add to this, but we're around, there's no denying that anyone in this type of world is in an electromagnetic frequency haven, and we're not getting the grounding to earth that's going to help us with that inflammation. So the reason that being outside with your shoes off or getting an earthing mat to sleep on, I think is even the best thing you could possibly do, because you're hooking yourself up when you sleep. What it does is it grounds you out. So like it actually runs through the ground in your plug, and it's like you're standing outside with your shoes off. So when you touch the earth is electromagnetic. You absorb like pretty much unlimited electrons while you're touching the earth. And these electrons act as antioxidants. And the cool thing about antioxidants is they can lend their charge to the free radicals without damaging themselves. So they're the solution. Like you need, everyone's heard the term antioxidant. You can get it from eating blueberries or whatever, but you can't get it from eating anything as much as you can by just standing outside with your shoes off for 10 minutes. So if you're hooked up to this never ending force of electrons to balance out all the cell damage in your body and take care of inflammation, like it's no wonder why while doing this type of thing has been shown to reduce inflammation in such a strong way, which in return really helps people that have autoimmune diseases and chronic pain. And I'm not the type of person that like talks about anything until I like deeply try it myself for a long time. And this is one of the things that I started doing when I slept on the mat. It was like, I could feel, other than the gift giving, you know, I could feel my happiness just in, because of the reduction of body pain, the increase in mental clarity. And therefore I'm becoming more productive. I'm being more creative. My happiness level is just like boom, boom, boom. And it's so consistent and clean, and it's staying up, and I'm high performing, and it's like really, really amazing. So being outside and having the psychedelic experience of being in nature is wonderful. But if you can't do that, get an earthing mat. That's going to help you so much. And then make sure you tell everybody in your life that you love them, because that's important too. That'll help with happiness.
Oh, I love that. And I really wish that we had more time, because I could probably talk to you for like 4 hours and we could cover so many different things. So I definitely will have to have you back. But I would love to know where our listeners can find you and your affirmation deck and the new one that you're going to be launching soon.
Ragecreate.com. So we crowdfund these really cool affirmation decks that are sort of like an affirmation oracle hybrid. They're called Sweet Ass Affirmations. We do on Kickstarter. And then the first one we launched in 2018, and it's been out on the market for a while. And Pat, it's just been a wonderful journey of thousands of people tagging us constantly. Like, the best part about it is just seeing what people were able to overcome and create themselves by just having a little bit of help with mindset. So the cards work to just, in a world where we're constantly knocked off of our focus in just a few seconds, they're made to be things that kind of remind you of your power and your magic and why you should be focusing in just a couple seconds. So it's the opposite of that. And you can hide them around your place to find them, or put them in your underwear or whatever, like carry them around with you, hand them out to family, friends. But ragecreate.com, the new one we're actually launching on Kickstarter in probably April. So whether that's currently live, if you're listening to this now, or if it's past the time that we did it, hopefully we got it funded and now it's going to be available on Rage Create. But the other one is available on Amazon and Rage Create, and we're putting up a new website. So hopefully by the time you listen to this, that'll be up as well. And then I'm at HeathArmstrong.com, at Heath Fist Pumps on Instagram. And I don't know, it's just all over the place. You can text me if you want. I don't, I'm always open.
I love that so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
Oh my gosh, this was so much fun. Thank you so much.
I like your hair too.
Thanks. This is what happens when you don't get a haircut for a whole year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working on it.
I'll trade you. I'll send
you back.
Well, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time. And thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this week's episode on the podcast. Please let us know what you loved in this episode and be sure to connect with Heath online and grab his affirmation deck. Until then, remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.
Well, it looks like we've made it to the end of this episode. I'm so grateful for you tuning into this week's episode, and I cannot wait to see you over on the next one. If you loved this conversation and this topic as much as I did, please feel free to leave us a rating or a review wherever you're listening. It takes just a second, and it is so important for us so that we can make sure to deliver this content to those who need it. I'm wishing you the most beautiful day wherever you are in the world, and remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.